856 at WEOL. We had there some celebrity reports of, you know, celebrity passings, people who are no longer with us. On personal notes, if you have people who have passed, sometimes different holidays maybe trigger, you know, different parts of a grieving process. Maybe also especially if maybe there was a suicide involved. Somebody who can help us get through that, especially with Valentine's Day coming up, is Joanne Harpel, who is with president of Coping After Suicide, joining us this morning. Good morning, Joanne.
Good morning.
So let's talk a little bit about this. What is your involvement with helping people through the bereavement process?
So I lost my own brother to suicide about 25 years ago, and I've since become a professional who works with people all across the country, individuals and families, communities, where they lost someone to suicide. You know, in many ways, any sort of death triggers bereavement and grief that's very similar, but in many ways, bereavement after suicide has some unique aspects to it, and so I try to help them cope with those.
What are some of those unique aspects you could talk about today?
Because suicide is a topic that is still so taboo and stigmatized, a lot of people don't admit that the death was a suicide or don't talk about it openly. And so when you lose someone to suicide, you can feel very alone and alienated. You may not even realize that you know anyone else who has been through this kind of experience. And also the people around you may feel really uncomfortable and not sure what to say. And often when people are uncomfortable, they don't say anything or they say something that is inadvertently really insensitive. And so it can be a really lonely experience.
Now, we have you on today because Valentine's Day is coming up. And a lot of times, depending on who that person is that is no longer with us, related to Valentine's Day, is it, I think about the holidays, you know, Thanksgiving, Christmas, those type of things, maybe birthdays. Talk about some of the things that you can give people a suggestion to help them get through this if they're feeling that way.
So whenever you lose someone in your life, of course, it's tragic and sad, but spouses and life partners, boyfriends, girlfriends, fiancés, same-sex partners, husbands, wives, they are part of one another's day-to-day lives. Their schedules are intertwined. They often will live together. And so when there's a death, it impacts not only their emotional life, but the everyday aspect of their lives. The other thing is we've heard a lot of stories, particularly when it's a spouse or a life partner who's died, that their family often will blame the surviving spouse or the surviving partner as if somehow that person should have been in a position to prevent the suicide or to have foreseen it. And so it can be particularly poignant for them. Not only are they grieving the loss of their partner on Valentine's Day, but also they may be experiencing a lot of blame.
I've seen it written and said that sometimes men and women grieve differently. Can you tell us how that is and maybe why?
Sure. So, of course, whenever you're talking about differences that may show up in genders, you're talking in stereotypes and generalities, and there can be lots and lots of shades of gray and exceptions. But stereotypically, women tend to cope with strong emotion, including grief, by wanting to talk about it, by wanting to connect with other people, by feeling close, by communicating, by creating a sense of community, and through a lot of physical contact, hugging and holding hands and being very close. Stereotypically, men tend to cope less by talking about their feelings and more by action, by setting goals, by doing things that are physically active, creating projects, training for a marathon through activity, and much less, typically much less about connecting and talking about their feelings. And so it can be very difficult for people who are both grieving a loss at the same time, but who have very different grieving styles, to really be there for one another. And it can be, it can lead to a lot of judgment and criticism if someone close to you is grieving in a very different way from how you are.
Talking today with Joanne Harpel, president of Coping After Suicide, also an authority on bereavement. You have something called postvention. Postvention. Talk about what that really means, I guess. Is it a prevention,
so we've
I suppose?
Sure. We've all heard the term and probably used the term suicide prevention, right? We have some sense of what it means. The term postvention simply refers to everything that happens after a suicide. So it can include grief support. It can also include trying to identify whether there are other people who may now themselves be at risk as a result of having lost someone to suicide. And so postvention includes everything up through and including suicide prevention among survivors of suicide loss. So it simply refers to everything that happens post suicide.
So we come up on a holiday like Valentine's Day where feelings may come back. What do you suggest somebody who helped them getting through a day like that or those type of moments?
So the first thing to remember is that it's absolutely normal that as a significant date approaches, whether it's a holiday or an anniversary or a birthday, in this case, Valentine's Day is the next one around the corner, that it's absolutely normal to feel a sense of anticipation or even dread as that day gets closer and closer. And so one thing is to just know that it's par for the course. A second thing is to remember that often the day itself isn't nearly as terrible as you anticipate it's going to be. For many, many people, the anticipation is the worst part. And then the day comes, and although it may be a difficult day, it's not nearly as difficult as you imagine in your mind that it might be. The other advice I have is to have some sense of a plan for how you want to handle the day. You can always adjust it. You can always change your mind if the day comes and you decide that what you had in mind doesn't feel quite right. But it can be very helpful to approach the day with some sort of idea of how you want to spend it. Do you want to be alone or do you want to be with people? Do you want to keep yourself busy and go to the movies or plan some activity, or do you want to have quiet time? And know the kinds of things that you find healing. So if you're someone whose mood always improves when you exercise, for example, you want to make sure to build exercise into that day. If the day comes and your mood is different from what you expected, you can always course correct in the moment. But you don't want to, most people find that it's easier to deal with the day if they have some sort of thought in advance of what they want to do.
If people want to find out more about some of the things you've talked about, what's a good place to get some resources for that?
The best way is to Google me. My name is Joanne Harpel, H-A-R-P-E-L, and that'll take you right to my LinkedIn profile, and all the information is right there.
Joanne, we appreciate your time this morning, and thanks for sharing your thoughts with us. Thank you.
My pleasure. Thank you.